You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about COVID-19 and how long-term care and assisted living communities in Wisconsin are taking steps to prepare. Do you have a loved one who lives in a senior facility? Have you stopped visiting? Do you live yourself in a senior facility? How has it changed to try to protect residents? Are you staying in your room more? How are you doing? Bring your questions, your situation, your questions right now, 800-642-1234. Beth Anderson is Executive Vice President of Laureate Group Senior Communities, which operates 8 facilities in the Milwaukee area. Beth, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
And Michael Pahowski is CEO of the Wisconsin Assisted Living Association. That's an industry group advocating and lobbying on behalf of assisted living facilities. Michael, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, Beth, let's start with you. Your company operating these senior residential facilities, what steps are you taking to protect residents right now?
So a week ago, we entered into a more detailed preparedness plan where we really began taking a look at cross-functional areas. And so what I mean is we stopped moving employees around who might pick up shifts in different locations. We were doing more cleaning. We were doing a lot of those kinds of things, starting to do more staff education, making sure we had hand sanitizer and had, you know, all of those kinds of supplies, and made sure we had supplies in case we needed them, like gowns and gloves and those things. So that's where we were a week ago. Yesterday, when the first positive came through in Waukesha, we went ahead and took the recommendation that came down from the Center for Disease Control for Long-Term Care Facilities, and yesterday we began restricting non-essential visitors to our Waukesha locations, and we will advance that into our Milwaukee locations today.
So what are non-essential visitors?
So what we really look at are there are some ones that might be obvious, so that support the facility. So, for example, we're not doing any carpet replacement. We're not taking bids on various things that we want done. That for sure, all of that kind of work has stopped. But as it pertains to the residents, non-essential visitors would continue to be people like the musicians who were scheduled for our St. Patrick's Day parties for next week. You know, some of those kinds of entertainers and other things. Where our families seem to be concerned, and where the misunderstanding comes in, is the programs inside the facility have not stopped at all. People are still coming to the dining room because we are virus-free inside the doors. The point now is that somebody's going to bring that virus to us, and that's what we're trying to protect. And so life inside the facilities is still happening. People are still going to social programs, but we're used to having all kinds of people come and participate with us, whether those are school children, whether those are high school kids, whether they're volunteers, whether they are clergy. That social aspect of our lifestyle program has changed until they take the warning away.
And Beth, just to be clear here, are family members allowed of residents or not?
They are not. If their visit is purely social. So we have some, our residents are still going out for some essential doctor's appointments. So we've are making sure that we have the resident prepared to go and they're meeting their family at the door. We've talked to people who are going out for essential things that it really is about going to the doctor and back, not stopping for lunch this time, not stopping at Walmart this time. If it's an essential visit, they should go there and they should return. And not have something going on in between.
Michael, is what you're hearing from Beth, is that what is coming as well down from assisted living communities around Wisconsin, or is it a bit different?
No, it is, and we're completely supportive and definitely also kind of providing the same outreach and support that Beth has been talking about. We've been working very closely with the Department of Health Services, and they've been doing a great job of making sure that we're well informed about what's going on, providing us resources from the Centers of Disease Control and the World Health Organization, and also from the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. And recently, the CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and while they strictly oversee federally oversight communities such as skilled nursing facilities and not necessarily assisted living, they also provided guidance indicating pretty much what Beth has stated, that restricting visitors right now is for the overall best interest of public health. And so if anyone who is looking to visit in a assisted living facility right now and exhibits any symptoms or signs of coronavirus or COVID-19, they will definitely be asked to not visit the community.
Well, Michael, I would imagine, though, that assisted living communities, there is more freedom for residents to come and go. How do you clamp down on that? Because it is less restrictive than, say, being confined to your room in a long-term care facility.
No, that's a great point, and kind of like how Beth mentioned, it's really communicating with the families and letting them know what the practices are right now, what the policies are in place, and just making sure that the families and any visitors are aware, and then trying to, as much as possible, restricting access to the community versus, you know, one entrance, and also just making sure that staff are aware when visitors are coming in, and just making sure that they can potentially screen those visitors as best as possible.
We're talking with Michael Pachowski, CEO of the Wisconsin Assisted Living Association. Beth Anderson is here, Executive Vice President of Laureate Group Senior Communities. Your questions, are you concerned of getting visitors because of coronavirus, or do you feel more isolated and alone? Tell us about how you're coping, what you have questions about. We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Beth, we had a caller earlier, couldn't stay with us, but they are wondering, they're 65, they're concerned about pools at the YMCA. Many senior living facilities use therapy pools and regular swimming pools. Is there something to worry about?
If we apply the same rules we've been applying, that isn't necessarily open to the public, so if a retirement community has their own pool, we would look and say, is there virus within the facility, and how do they handle that anytime there's a virus in the facility, and we would apply the same rule. I think what some people don't recognize is that for us, we're viewing COVID-19 as what I would call another one, because we are always on alert this time of year for regular influenza as well as for norovirus. And so we now just are adding COVID-19 to the list. And so we all have policies and practices about what stays open and what doesn't if the virus, any virus is present in the location, and they would apply those same rules to the pool.
Well, let's bring in Mona now in Madison with a question. Hi, Mona.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about the polling places and elderly voters and elderly poll workers. I usually work the polls, but my pulmonologist told me not to in April. And so, I don't know. What are they doing? The city says they're working with the health department, but they haven't come up with a plan yet.
That was a big question for us yesterday, because we had some voter registration that was scheduled. And so, you know, the question was, is voting essential? And we all went directly to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and said, I bet it is. And so we had some discussion. We actually had some poll volunteers who are on our staff, which was very helpful. And so we utilized that resource. When we talked to them, we only had 4 people that needed to be registered. And we talked about, could they come to the lobby and could we limit their access? And where had that polling volunteer been? Had she made 9 other stops yesterday morning, or had she come directly from home? So, you know, what we're really doing is evaluating where people have been, and we're really trying to limit even essential people who have had multiple stops during the day and been in multiple places, whether those are other retirement communities or whether it's at the library and the Y and other civic places. You know, the point is we're really trying to keep people from going place to place to place and then showing up inside our door.
Yeah, we're talking about COVID-19 preparations at our state's senior living facilities. Beth Anderson is here with Laureate Group Senior Communities. Michael Pachowski, head of the Wisconsin Assisted Living Association. Your questions, your concerns, what do you want clarity on about the elderly and COVID-19? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A number of nursing homes and assisted living communities straight across the country have changed their visitor policies as an extra precaution against the spread of COVID-19. We're learning how facilities are responding here in Wisconsin with your questions about a loved one who is in senior living. How are they staying safe? How is your senior community changing to protect residents? We're at 800-642-1234. Michael Pahowski is CEO of the group Wisconsin Assisted Living Association. Beth Anderson here as well, Executive Vice President of Laureate Group Senior Communities, and they stay with us. Let's take another call now. Julie is here from Madison with a question. Hi, Julie.
Hello. I have a friend. I'm her POA, and I help her in life. She's in a memory care unit, and I got a call yesterday saying that, they were restricting visitors, which I'm in support of. But she has a cat, and I'm the person who helps her with the cat. And I was told to call back today to find out, because when she moved in there, they told me they couldn't help with the cat. So not quite sure what's going to happen there to the kitty cat.
Yeah, so Julie, you are helping this person as their power of attorney. And I'm wondering, Michael, what are some things that people should be thinking about right now as they take care of loved ones who are in and out of certain facilities?
Sure, and no, and that's a great question, and we've been making sure to raise questions like this with the Department of Health Services and the Bureau of Assisted Living, and it's the essential point is that if there's a power of attorney, an activated power of attorney, and they need access to the resident for whatever reason, and as long as they're not having any type of symptoms of COVID-19 or coronavirus, they should be able to get access to the resident. So if they're able to, they need to care for a pet or whatever it might be, as long as they're not exhibiting symptoms and are not in violation of any of the perhaps temporary visitation policies of that facility, they should be allowed to have access to that resident.
Julie, thank you for the call. Beth, do you have anything to add there?
Yeah, I think one of the things that people haven't thought about is the outdoor is certainly still a choice. So if the right answer in this period is the cat goes somewhere else for this window of time, that also is a solution. I would tell you we're probably going to take on feeding the cat because that's kind of what happens. Over the last couple days already, we've found all kinds of different things that family members support that now we support. And so we have had to redeploy the staff differently, and we're going to continue to do that. And my sense is we're going to do all kinds of things that isn't in our regular scope of service in this unusual time we're finding ourselves in.
Well, as you redeploy staff, Beth, I'm wondering about the quality of care, because the focus is on making sure the facilities are clean, inspection funding from the federal government going toward inspections on, cleanliness. And I worry about the unintended consequences of less contact, physical contact with residents, like partially bedbound residents could incur bed sores for not being rotated.
Right.
Are there some unintended consequences here?
The point for the provider is that I suppose there are always unintended consequences, right? But as a provider, our job is to make certain that the residents' care is the priority. And so we will always continue to do that first. What we have to do is use our what we consider our non-essential employees. I had our corporate staff yesterday. Our corporate office is in one of the retirement communities. Our office is taking a turn doing the screening at the desk so that people can, so that our caregivers can be with the residents. They can't be deterred to other work. This other work that has to happen has to be done by other people. And so right at the moment, you would imagine the sales staff, the marketing directors aren't all that busy because we're not doing tours and we're not renting apartments. Those people obviously are deployed in other ways. We have people whose the essence of their positions will change in this period so that the caregivers can continue to be doing care and the other unusual work will be done by other people.
Michael, are facilities you work with struggling with staffing levels or redeploying anyway?
I think right now, and just to kind of go off of a best point, I think residents' health and safety and quality is our number one priority and the number one priority for all of our members. And there's definitely some concerns that if there is a coronavirus, outbreak within a facility or whatnot, that what will happen with staffing. And we've been making sure to communicate those concerns with the Department of Health Services so they can provide any type of outreach or support or services as best as possible. But right now, as Beth mentioned, the goal is to make sure that we utilize any staff that we have available to make sure that the residents are receiving the best quality and care and services as much as possible.
We're talking with Michael Pachowski, CEO of the Wisconsin Assisted Living Association, Beth Anderson, Executive Vice President of Laureate Group Senior Communities. They operate 8 senior living facilities in the Milwaukee area. Taking your questions on COVID-19 and the elderly at 800-642-1234. So, Beth, did your facilities develop this COVID-19 plan specifically for the coronavirus outbreak, or did you already have a plan in place?
So we had all of us are required to have infection control policies. And as I said, they get pulled out every winter when we start to enter flu season, and we have the reminders of all the important things that we have to do. And we made a couple of adjustments for COVID-19. We don't usually have as many gowns and masks and thermometers, for example, as we have in our possession right now, which has been a little difficult for assisted living. Some of the vendors have limited your purchase to your average purchase in the last 6 months. And in some of our location, the average number of gloves and gowns they had ordered was zero. Mm. And so we did have to work with some vendors differently, and we'll redeploy to supplies where they're needed. But so we have different supplies this time in, or additional supplies, I suppose we'd say. But there has always been infection control policies in place.
Michael, what do you see? Yeah, Michael, what do you see with supplies for cleaning products, food, and other provisions in the assisted living communities?
Yeah, like Beth mentioned, we're very concerned right now about the, I guess, low supply of personal protective equipment, so masks and gowns and whatnot. And it's not only a Wisconsin problem, but it's a national problem right now. I'm talking with medical suppliers. They're trying to ration as best as possible in case there is an outbreak within a facility. And so we've been in constant communication with the Department of Health Services about that. They're fully aware. They're trying to utilize their resources to get as many supplies as they can possibly get. And so it's a huge concern, and we just keep working with all the appropriate governmental agencies to make sure that if something happens, our facilities have all the equipment that they need to make sure that they care for their residents.
Beth, I'm wondering, in the circumstances of what we've seen unfold in the Seattle area with nearly a dozen long-term care facilities at the epicenter of the outbreak, are there any lessons learned that you're seeing coming from the Seattle area?
I think, this is I've been here 30 years. We have never we've never tried to figure out what an essential visitor was. That was yesterday's exercise. And so I think that's what we've learned, which is trying to keep the virus out of the building. We're not trying to keep, visitors out. We're trying to keep the virus out. And I think that's really the lesson that's come out of Seattle, was that this precaution of let's shut us down until this thing simmers down a little bit is very prudent. And I think that's the primary lesson that was learned.
If your residents do need testing, how does that play out?
We were on a call on DHS this morning at 7 o'clock trying to understand what that's about. Right now, it in our environment, it does not look like, in assisted living, it does not look like they would stay for testing today. But if, of course, we have widespread outbreak across the counties, that very well may change. But it sounded, based on my conference call that I listened to this morning, that it really is a health system by health system, county by county, decision in terms of what they're dealing with and what the volume is. But right now, our people would go out to be tested.
Michael, are you seeing the similar information there with assisted living communities, that residents would leave the community in order to be tested?
I think exactly. I think, like Beth mentioned, it's almost a case-by-case basis. So if someone was exhibiting symptoms of COVID-19 or coronavirus, it would be either, contact the hospital, their primary practitioner or whatnot, and talk with them and figure out exactly what they're thinking, get their advice, and then if they indicate to bring that individual to the medical office or the hospital or whatnot, we would definitely follow those directions. Or if they would have someone come to the facility to provide testing, it all depends on what struggles and strains that they're facing, and also mm-hmm. kind of what signs and symptoms the resident is exhibiting.
Beth, it sounds like you've had every day where you've looked at a particular challenge and how to meet it. What is the challenge you're working on today?
We last night resent out communication to all of our families and to residents. I think what we're really going to be trying to work on now is helping people try not to, we're getting flooded with questions about what will we do if we get it. And, you know, we will get a lot of direction. And so people are saying, what are you going to do about staffing? And what happens, this was a real question we got. What happens if the United States can no longer get medications from China? You know, where will my mother's medicine come from? You know, we're trying to help people live in the moment a little bit because it seems to be changing about every 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so we're not really trying to work with people to speculate on where we're going to be in 2 weeks. We're trying to make sure today that, you know, we're screening employees, that we're, our time needs to be spent screening the people who do come in the front door, so that we're protecting everybody and that we're making sure the resident life inside the facility is still fun and not worrisome. And, you know, that's really how we're trying to spend our time and not look too far down the path.
Well,
the corporate offices are looking down the path.
Thank you for both joining us. Beth Anderson there, Executive Vice President of Laureate Group Senior Communities. Michael Pachowski, CEO of the Wisconsin Assisted Living Association. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.